Welcome to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small, and with me again today is Jeff Kelm.
Hi.
Jeff,
how are you, Dan?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good.
You know, you've still got a little sun from last weekend.
I got this sock line going on. You know, it's not cool.
You've been outdoors.
Yes, I have. I've been fishing the piers again.
You can't drag yourself away.
Cannot.
All right.
Those kings are supposed to be hitting, and everything's kind of messed up on the piers. The water temperature's a little cooler. We did have that rain last week that warmed everything up through the river, but really hasn't change the lake itself a whole lot.
So you say that kings are supposed to be hitting, you
supposed
can't prove
to
it,
be.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, out on the charters, they're still doing real well.
Yeah.
Out on the piers and stuff like that, it's a little slower. A couple of nice rainbows, though. Pulled an 11-pound rainbow
out
last
week. Ooh, that is a nice one.
Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, I actually put my new boat in the water last week. Yeah.
Does it float?
Oh, it does.
All right.
And after I remembered to unhook the strap, I got it launched. I double check everything. I made sure the plug was in because I've done that
before. That's the main bite.
Oh, man. One time I was out with Jeff Bast of Outdoor News, and we were at the Governor's Fishing Opener.
Sure.
We launched the boat. We put all our gear in. Jeff is stowing some stuff, and he opens one of the hatches in the back, and he says, "Dan, there's water in here." I said, "Oh, my God." I took off. We took off, and, you can siphon the water out the back.
Sure.
Okay. We did that, got the plug in, and slightly embarrassing.
Yeah.
So here I was at Random Lake at the boat launch, right next to the beach, and you know it wouldn't come off the trailer, and I'd taken the chain off.
Yep.
But a young fellow who had been sunbathing had to come over and say, "I don't think you unhooked the strap." I said, "You know what? You're right."
Yep. Well, it happened.
And then it floated right off, and that Crestliner is beautiful. I went around the lake a couple times to kind of break in the engine, and then I did a little musky fishing, and or I should say a little casting, at water.
Yeah. No catching. Huh?
Didn't see any muskies, but I'll get the Crestliner out there again, I'm sure, now that I got the bugs out of my launch system.
Right. You got to remember that next time.
Yeah.
There we go.
And then I spent the last few days actually picking wild blackberries.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah, getting all scratched up. And
now are you getting them into the bucket, or are most of them going into...
Well, I am wearing a mosquito head net.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so can't even get them into your mouth.
They have to go in the bucket.
They have to go.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm pretty disciplined. You know, if I start eating them, it's all over.
Yep.
But if I can just pick them and put them in the bowl or the bucket and take them home, and then we have them for dessert. And
very good. They're good on ice cream.
Oh, they're good anyway. Anyway, my wife makes a real thin, like a crepe, you know?
Sure.
And puts a little whipped cream on it.
Ooh.
And then the berries or the whatever's in season. And right now we've got domestic raspberries in our garden. And, of course, these wild black raspberries are just about my favorites.
Yeah, they're delicious.
So I think there's probably another week of that if I can stand the mosquitoes. But, I got long sleeves, long pants, the head net, and about the only thing showing is my hands. And I just kind of swat at them once in a while and pick away. And, hey, we've got a winner.
A winner.
Yes. All right. We had a giveaway last week, the Milford Hills 5 certificates for sporting clays.
Okay.
And out of the many entries we had, we drew one name, and Brad Holm of Schaumburg, Illinois.
Brad.
Is the winner. You betcha. And this week, we've got a giveaway of a pair of Glacier gloves.
All right.
Now, it's a little hard to get your mind around gloves in the middle of the summer.
You don't have to wear them now.
Well, no, but they make technical gloves. They make fingerless mitts for casting, for rock climbing, for kayaking. They're great for paddling.
Okay.
And, of course, they make camouflage gloves, warm gloves for deer hunting and for bow hunting and turkey hunting and all the other sports.
Yeah, and GlacierOutdoors.com is actually their website. You can check out a lot of the different things that they have for outdoor dexterity.
Yeah, exactly, yes. And to enter the drawing, call now. Call 414-297-7555. 5-4, and leave your name and phone number, and we'll call you if you're the winner. You can also enter by going to lake-link.com, keyword radio, and click on where it says contact Dan and Judy, and send us an email, and we will put you in the drawing that way, too.
Good luck.
Yes, and this week we've got a great lineup. We've got Joel Taylor, with an announcement from Racine's Big Fish Bash or Salmonorama.
Now, he's the inventor of the fish elevator,
exactly.
Right? I'm familiar with that with all the ice fishing
he's
that I
He's a
did, so.
Fisherman. He's a fishaholic. He fishes year-round.
Fisherman through and through,
24/7.
No,
he'll tell us how he did at last week's Salmonorama or Big Fish Bash. And we'll talk with John Devney, who is with the Delta Waterfowl. He's a policy specialist there, vice president, actually. And he's going to give us an interpretation of the recent U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service waterfowl breeding survey report that's just out.
So we'll find out how it pertains to us here.
Exactly.
In Wisconsin.
Yep. And Ben Hobbins of Ironclad Lures is back from ICAST in Las Vegas, and he's got an announcement for us. And the Alma fishing float is where it's at on the Mississippi River, and we'll talk with Jim Lodermeyer of the Alma float. All that and more right after this.
Midwestern Shooters Supply is the place to go for bargain prices on all your hunting, shooting, reloading, dog training, and fishing supplies. Located at the southeast corners of Highway 41 and 67 in Lamira, Midwestern Shooters Supply also has an indoor pistol range and a fantastic display of wildlife mounts from deer to grizzly bears. Stop in and save on dozens of items. Flicker shads were $2.99, now only $2. Save 20% on all fishing rods in stock. Mention this ad and save 10% on all hard baits. Buy a new bow and save 10% on accessories. And right now, there's a closeout sale going on all Under Armour clothing. Make Midwestern Shooters Supply your choice for savings and great selections on all your outdoor gear. Stop in today or shop online at mwshooters.com or call 920-269-4995. That's 920-269-4995.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad soft bait brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad soft baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 co-angler of the year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad baits, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 national champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure in 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad soft bait brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Finelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at Sportsman's Warehouse. Do you care enough to buy the best equipment? Unfortunately, what's desirable to you is desirable to thieves, too.
Introducing DuraSafe's trolling motor lock that fits all Minn Kota transom mount trolling motors.
It eliminates the hassle of removing and reattaching your motor whenever you pull into shore or while you sleep.
Visit DuraSafeLocks.com today to learn more about the DuraSafe trolling motor lock, inexpensive, lightweight protection for your valuable investment.
That's DuraSafeLocks.com.
This fishing report is brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Heckles Marina. And Jeff, you know, we've got a guest on the line who has an interesting story to tell us, an exciting story to tell
us. Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, that's Joel Taylor, a friend of mine from OMRO. Joel, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Very good, Joel. We're doing all right, and you know, you're best known as an ice fisherman for the fish elevator.
Oh.
But and Jeff knows all about that. But I understand because you've been calling me regularly from your fishing exploits down at Salmonorama, which ended last weekend. I understand you got an exciting story to tell us.
Yeah, I had a really good week. We caught a lot of fish out on the pier. And I ended up lucking out and getting a 23.7 pound Chinook and won the tournament.
No kidding. Okay, so that fish held up, huh?
It sure did.
Wow. And what did you win?
I won a really nice boat. It was a really nice boat and valued at $26,000, I guess. Oh, so it was really
wow.
worth it.
Wow. Okay. Now, 23.7 you said? 23.7?
Yep, 23.7 pounds.
Wow. Now, that's a big king for this year. That most of them are in the mid-teens.
Yeah. The next biggest one was a pound less. And normally, you know, it takes darn near a 30-pound fish to win that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they were running really small this year.
Lots of fish being thrown off their regular pattern this year, though. So it has been an odd year for that. Now, how did the Salmonorama, how did that work? What kind of a tournament was this?
It's a 9-day tournament down out of Racine. It's got a lot of different levels. It's got a youth division, a kayak division, a shore division, and then the boat division. And I was just fishing the boat division, which is the biggest and has the biggest prizes, and ended up winning that part of it. But it's a full 9-day tournament out on Lake Michigan, 24 hours a day.
Wow. And you fished it almost 24 hours a day, didn't you?
I sure did. I lived right out there in the pier on my boat and pretty much fished all daylight hours and got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and got bait every morning and started fishing until sundown.
Wow. And now this, technically, it's called the Big Fish Bash now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Big Fish Bash.
Yeah.
It changed over from Salmonorama, I don't know, 5 years ago?
Oh, I don't know. Last year they were sponsoring our show, and so we knew a lot about it. And this year I wouldn't have even thought about it if you hadn't called and said, hey, I'm in it, and I'm fishing, and I'm catching fish. So I'm glad you did. Now, how did you catch this fish? I won't ask you exactly where, because we don't want to see a mob of boats right where yours was last year, or next year.
Right, time. Right. I was just fishing with AOYs, live AOYs on the bottom, using a 2.5-ounce bell sinker on a slip rig, and just checking it often and checking my line really often because zebra mussels really been nicking up your line, and just fishing on bottom with a beer bottle.
Okay, what do you mean a beer bottle?
Well, what you do is you set your rod down on the pier, you open the bail. After you've tightened your rig up, you open the bail and you take the line off to the side and you put it around, you wrap it around the top of the beer bottle. When the fish hits, it knocks the bottle over and makes a nice noise, so it alerts you got the fish, and then the line can just free spool off and you come up and you get them.
Oh, I'll be darned. Okay.
I explained that a lot over the last couple of weeks fishing the pier here in Sheboygan. A lot of people just don't understand what the bottles are for, but
yeah, they just think you're drinking it, that's all.
Yeah.
And it works really good. It'll wake you up right out of a dead sleep when one goes over.
Oh, an alarm clock. Great alarm clock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, now that you've won that, you're back up on Lake Winnebago, and I know you've been telling me prior to this about the perch fishing. So how is the perch fishing?
Yeah, to tell you the truth, when I was down there salmon fishing, I just couldn't wait to get back up here because we've still been doing good on the walleyes. You know, they're still up on the rocks. They're staying up later this year because, as you guys said, just later this year because of the weather, and the perch are actually still up on the rocks. They're not even into the mud yet, and they're still biting good, so I can't wait to get back out here and get back on them.
Well, good, and I know you're fishing with Tom Neubauer for Outdoor Wisconsin this week.
Yeah, we're doing a show later this week. I can't wait.
Well, I would have joined you, but I've got other plans, and Tom was happy to take my place, and I don't blame him. I mean, with the possibility of limit catches of 10-inch perch, I'm going to be salivating thinking about all the fun you guys are going to have there.
Well, maybe you can make it next time.
I would like to. I want to get out there at least once, if not with a TV camera, just for fun.
Right.
Well, Joel, thanks a lot for that report, and good luck with the perch, and make sure Tom doesn't outfish you this week now, because, you know, you've got a reputation to hold up.
Okay, thanks.
You bet. This was our fishing report brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Heckles Marina.
Tonight, yeah, I'm gonna miss her on the day. I've got a bite.
This next segment is brought to you by Midwestern Shooter Supply of Lomira, on the web at mwshooters.com. And Jeff, you know, I just saw the recently released report from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's annual waterfowl breeding population and habitat survey.
Okay.
And
What's it saying?
The picture is not very good. Summarizing here, last year we had record or near record populations of five duck species, and this year the survey shows a 39% decline in Canadian ponds and double-digit percentage drops for five of the most of the 10 most abundant species in the traditional survey area. And we've got a gentleman on the line who can tell us what this means, interpret it for us, and that's John Devney, Senior Vice President for Delta Waterfowl in Bismarck, North Dakota. John, how are you?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Wonderful.
We're okay, but we're a little concerned about this breeding survey report. Canvasbacks dropped 44%. Mallards looks like between 12 and 36%, depending on which area you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, we saw, you know, I was, frankly, guys, maybe I sound like a masochist, but actually I thought duck numbers, especially for mallards, were a little better than I anticipated them. You know, you mentioned the drop in Canadian ponds, and when you take U.S. and Canadian ponds and bundle them together, we saw a 37% drop.
Mm-hmm.
And that puts wetland, available wetland habitat down 10% below the long-term average, where last year they were way, way, way above.
Okay.
So, you know, we had a very, very, very dry breeding season this spring. And so most of the declines, in fact, I'd say virtually all the declines that you're seeing, are simply an artifact of that general drying trend that we saw from year to year. And you know, ducks have evolved to deal with these wet and dry periods. You know, one of the things we joke about out here in the Dakotas is average is a meaningless term because either we're real wet or real dry. And
yeah,
this was one of the years that tended to be real dry.
So you're saying, and you mentioned the long-term average. When you look at the decline over the long-term, it's not as bad. But when you're in 30% or more compared to last year, I guess that's what scares people. But last year was a great year, right?
Well, last year we had good pond conditions, and we had pretty decent duck numbers. And, you know, basically this year we sort of dried back, went below average in terms of available wetland habitat, and the ducks declined pretty markedly following that wetland habitat trend.
Mm-hmm. Now, we understand that the breeding grounds, and that is most of the Dakotas, parts of Minnesota, and the Canadian prairies, as a large area, we're losing CRP, or Conservation Reserve land up there. Is that having an impact?
Well, it doesn't have much of an impact on the survey results that you just cited.
Mm-hmm.
What it will likely have is, over the course of the next few years, if the trend continues and conservation payments can't keep pace with rising commodity prices and rising cash rent, that we're going to see the productivity of those ducks decline.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, we would expect that we would see these population sizes shrink. And you've got, you know, these high commodity prices put a lot of pressure on CRP, but they've also put a lot of pressure on the remaining wetland habitat we have and the native grasslands that are productive for breeding sites for prairie nesting ducks as well.
Uh-huh, okay. Well, what does this mean for Wisconsin hunters?
Well, I think, you know, Wisconsin hunters derive their harvest from a number of different places. Obviously, a number of the ducks, depending upon the species that are harvested in Wisconsin, will come out of the traditional survey area, be it the Dakota, southwestern Manitoba, southern Saskatchewan, or sort of the more northern boreal forest-type habitats. You know, it's kind of a condition, it's kind of one of those things where I think the breeding conditions were relatively pretty good in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
From the folks
I've
talked to.
Yeah, we had plenty of water.
Water wasn't the issue.
In fact, probably way more water than anybody wants,
oh,
frankly.
Oh, gosh, when you talk about drought, I mean, we're looking at each other like, what drought? Not here.
So you're probably going to have some decent production of local birds.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of the fall flights out of some of those traditional hot spots that are important for Wisconsin may not be quite as good. The other sort of hedge that Wisconsin has is a lot of the ducks, especially mallards that come into Wisconsin, may come out of areas like Ontario. Mm-hmm. Where the conditions were pretty decent, and water conditions tend to be a little more stable. So depending on the species, depending upon where you are hunt in Wisconsin, it's going to be a bit of a mixed bag.
Okay. Now, we're talking about the loss of CRP, and that's essentially prairie grasses. Why is that important to waterfowl? I mean, waterfowl need water, right?
Well, waterfowl certainly do need water, and everything sort of starts for all ducks with wetlands. But for ducks to be productive, especially your upland nesting ducks, whether that's a mallard, a gadwall, a blue-winged teal, a pintail, or even a scop, for them to be productive, they need lots and lots and lots of nesting cover, because those ducks don't nest over water. They're mm-hmm. nesting up in the adjacent uplands.
Mm-hmm.
And what CRP has done is taken millions and millions and millions of acres of relatively unproductive agricultural ground and established that into nesting cover. So what that has done is it gives a mallard or a gadwall a safe place to nest during the breeding season. And we know if you have lots and lots of grass on the landscape, the impact of predators is greatly diminished.
They can't find the nest.
So that's what CRP has done.
They can't find the nest.
Well, they can't find the nest. It creates a lot of alternative prey.
Yeah.
There are just all sorts of good things that happen when you have millions and millions of acres of undisturbed grass
uh-huh.
on the landscape.
And undisturbed is a key, isn't it? Because I know here in Wisconsin, I suppose everywhere, many species, upland birds in particular, nest in, say, alfalfa, and we lose a lot of pheasants when that first and second mowings are made.
Yeah, no, we didn't have that problem out here because our hay mowing, our alfalfa cutting, was pretty late this year, but you're right. You know, a stand that isn't disturbed gives birds the opportunity to get through the full of the breeding season without any disturbance. And, you know, ducks, you know, have had to contend with grazers their whole life. So, I mean, certainly pastures aren't bad, and we'd rather have haylands than crop agriculture,
mm-hmm.
certainly. But if we had our choice about what kind of cover type was going to be out there to be undisturbed grassland.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've all heard that the USDA is considering the possibility of CRP contract holders giving them an early out with no penalty. What kind of impact is that likely to have?
Well, I think in this commodity environment, I think we'd watch millions of acres go out of CRP within moments within moments of that happening. Now, I think there's a lot of producers that are taking a more measured view of this and saying, listen, if this was marginal cropland before, it's probably always going to be marginal cropland. But, you know, there are just a tremendous amount of market signals aimed at producers right now that are saying produce, produce, produce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we need to increase production, that's one thing. I am a little concerned with the hue and cry that, you know, we can release these CRP acres and deal with real short-term problems, because I don't think we can deal with real short-term supply problems through releasing CRP. But ultimately, that's going to be USDA's call. But it's interesting. There's folks from all over the spectrum, and even folks within the agricultural community that are divided over the concept of early outs.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of differences of opinion, I understand that you and some other groups disagree with the Fish and Wildlife Service on a proposal to reduce the scop bag limit. And scop, of course, that's bluebills. The bag limit would be one bird for this coming season if that goes through.
Yeah, well, this has been going back a number of years since the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service proposed a new scop harvest strategy that Delta and a variety of other folks, primarily from the states and the flyways, have raised concerns about the model that the service was using and saying, you know, listen, this model needs some more work, it needs some more refinement before we sort of thrust it on hunters. And, you know, it's been our case, the case we've been making is, listen, we recognize there's been a long-term scop decline. We've been studying it, as has everybody else. And there is a concern for scop, but our case has been, listen, scop populations, actually one of the duck species that fared pretty well in this latest round of breeding surveys, you know, they actually went up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and we really need to force these new restrictions at a time when scop increased over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything else that we ought to talk about here?
Well, I think, you know, regulation process will be starting here soon, so that scoff issue will be dealt with here within the next few weeks, mm-hmm. as will sort of the global duck season, what we have to look forward to in terms of regulations and bag limits. So anybody that's interested in duck and goose hunting should be paying close attention to that. And I think we'll start to see some more information about some of our other waterfowl surveys. What Arctic geese, I know there's a lot of people like to hunt geese in the state of Wisconsin. We'll have a better handle on what some of those northern Canadian goose population statuses look like as well.
Now, John, if people want to get the information, where can they go to get this stuff and keep tabs on it?
Well, I tell you, if anybody's looking for a good, concise place to consume all this information, our website is a great place. That website is www.deltawaterfowl.org. The other place to watch for this information is the Fish and Wildlife Service's website, www.fws.gov.
All right. Well, John, thanks a lot. We will be paying attention, and we may check in with you once the regs are posted so we can get a little more precise idea of what our waterfowl prospect looks like for this year.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
That was John Devney, Senior Vice President of Delta Waterfowl in Bismarck, North Dakota, and this segment was brought to you by Midwestern Shooters Supply of Lomira on the web at mwshooters.com.
Milford Hills Hunt Club is open year-round with upland bird hunting, sporting clays, shooting instruction, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your special event. Milford Hills features state-of-the-art electronic traps in a sporting clays course, elevated five-stand, and oscillating wobble trap. Enjoy open and league shooting Wednesday and Thursday evening and during the day on Saturday and Sunday, or sharpen your skills in a personal lesson or a shooting clinic. Milford Hills Hunt Club's first-class restaurant offers a full menu for lunch and dinner. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. The groom and best man shoot free at bachelor party outings of 15 or more. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Log on to MilfordHills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's 920-699-2249.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
Well, Jeff, I gave you some of those ironclads last week, and I understand they're still in the package.
They're still in the package. I can't pull myself away from the piers right now. Those kings are supposed to be hitting like crazy right now, and it's just not happening. So this next weekend, I'm going to get a chance to get out and use those ironclads.
Good. And we have the president and CEO of Lake Resources Group, the company that makes ironclads, on the line. Not to put you on the spot or anything.
Well, all right, all right.
But Ben Hobbins is here. Ben, how are you?
Hey, good. Hi, Dan, and hi, Jeff.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Good. Hey, good. How are you doing?
We're doing great. How about a tip or two for Jeff? He's going after smallmouth with those ironclads. How would you use them?
Well, we hit them pretty hard. We were out a couple weeks back, and we were out using these tubes and these 4.5-inch sticks, and I think we caught over 60 fish on the same tubes, never changed out. Well, it's hard to imagine not changing a tube on each fish, but we did keep on, if you have that root beer red flake, 3.5-inch tube, what works really effective on those as a tip is just putting a jig head, probably a 3/8 ounce jig head right through the center of that and just pop it out and it's not going to budge. And, another hot tip is taking a June bug 4.5-inch stick and taking a jig head on that too and go wacky worm right through the center on there, and you'll just be hitting them pretty hard. I think I think one of the guys I was with, the guy caught 63 smallmouth on one stick so far, so
that's
amazing.
That's a lot. You're lucky if you can get two. I mean, if you can kind of rework it onto the hook. And yeah, that's. I mean, I can't wait to start using them. I got to find the smallmouth. And then maybe will the lure find it for me?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, when you get into them, it's pretty amazing. They will suck them in, hit them hard, and you don't have to worry about setting that hook or cast it as hard as you want. They never fling off, too. That's pretty nice.
Say, Ben, I understand you were at you were out in Vegas last week for something called ICAST, which is the fishing trade industry trade show. How did that go?
That went really well. It was all last week in Las Vegas. It was about 115 degrees. Furnace as usual. And they're kind of uncomfortable to walk around in. Of course, nobody goes out in the daytime in Vegas. But the show went really well. As you know, we had won that Chicagoland Outdoor Show Best in Show Award, and we're in the running for this one and finished behind Pure Fishing real close again.
Oh, okay.
We're pleased about that. Had all the, I think we had interest from many, many a store from all the major chains and a lot of importers actually from Europe and the Far East.
Okay.
We got our hands full.
Good.
It was real successful.
All right. Well, second place ain't bad behind the big guy.
No.
That's excellent. No. Now, you and I have some news that we've been itching to report, and I'm going to let you do it.
Okay. Dan Small Outdoors and my company, Lake Resources in Ironclads, has been working on a project to help the Lake Delton disaster, and it's called the Lake Delton Fisheries Restoration Project, officially, and we announced that at the OWAA conference to outdoor writers a couple weeks ago, but we'd like to announce that today here for all of our listeners. We put together a project that aligns some major sponsors such as Gander Mountain, Associated Bank, and others to come into a fundraising program where we assemble monies from donors, from private donors that are on different sales points, and try to get them a new account that we will transfer over to the Lake Delton community in conjunction with the DNR and other entities, probably FEMA, to get substantial monies to restock Lake Delton with the fisheries that it used to have. So that's pretty much the project in a nutshell. We're really excited, you know, Dan and I, to actually have proposed and to lead this project forward, and, you know, for the benefit of Lake Delton and perhaps to be used as a model for some other similar type disasters in the future.
Oh, that's really great. That is.
It's a neat project, and I must say it was Ben's idea, and it's a great idea, and I'm very happy to be on board, and we'll be talking about it regularly on the show. And we have talked to some of the folks over there involved with the Lake Delton, Tom Deal at Lake Delton, who runs the Tommy Bartlett Show, and he's told us a couple weeks ago just how hurting they are there, but their shows are going on this summer, and we wish them the best. And we've also talked with Andy Morton of the DNR, who said that they will rebuild that lake and they will refill it. So we're hoping to be
Tim
able
Larson.
To help. Yep.
And Tim Larson, the Poinette field office there, that's worked with Dan and I to kind of coordinate the foundational piece of this and trying to get together numbers and mainly just trying to, you know, get something going here to help support those folks there that, you know, had these, you know, such a disaster. And I hear the hot tip is the fish downstream there in the river.
Yeah.
Well, it's really great, though. I mean, throughout a lot of these disasters, you know, you can do so much with it's a brand new lake. I mean, you can do anything with it, you know, and manage the right way. I mean, it's going to be amazing to find out what it's going to be like, you know.
It might be a recovery like what we saw on Delavan Lake.
Sure. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. I think you're both right. I think there's an opportunity to get her reestablished, and you know there was a lot of cleanup activities conducted, you know, on the lake bottom in itself. That's a great thing in itself. And I know Dan and I were talking about discussing with the Dell's Sportsman Club about trying to get some structure, some different cribs put in there at the same time. So we'll be talking with them about that.
and
trying to get everyone on board on this particular project.
It certainly was a disaster, but we hope that the end result will be positive for all concerned, and maybe we'll have a shining new fishery to look forward to.
You bet.
Now, is this something that people can get information about right now? Is it available?
Yep. At this point, we have just set up a designated account with this, with Associated Bank. In fact, I just got that taken care of wise at ICAST via phone. So there's a designated account set up, and we're looking to get a website going here and getting the support we need from some other sponsors to be announced. Midwest Outdoors is on board with us as well, and Mike from Mike Walker Agency, which is another PR firm that's going to be helping get the word out for Dan and I. And it looks like some other major sponsors are coming on board, but we won't announce those until they're in the bag, so to speak. And but the development is taking place at a rapid pace as time permits. And obviously we do have some time here as they're still trying to put together their own timeline with refilling the lake with the DNR and all the necessities, you know, based around that project in itself.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you and I, speaking of those fish downstream of Lake Delton, you and I are going to be fishing in the Thursday's Child Invitational Bass Tournament next weekend. And
yep.
Maybe we'll pick up a couple of those bass.
Yeah. We'll have to take pictures and send them up to Tom Deal and say, give them a big kiss and say, we're safe knees for you or something.
Did you guys have missing posters written up or something and return them back?
We'll say, Tom, does this one look familiar?
Yeah, this one banded or what?
Yeah. All right. Sure. Well, Ben, good to talk with you as always.
It's really nice talking to you too, Jeff, and Dan as usual.
Yeah, Ben, I can't wait to get out and use the ironclads and see what they can line up in the boat.
You bet.
Thanks, Ben.
So, Dan, what's coming up on Outdoor Wisconsin this next week?
Well, next week, Jeff, Judy is fishing for big smallmouths on Shawamigan Bay with Roger LePenter, fly fishing for them.
Fly fishing?
Yeah, you bet. And Tom Neubauer shows a lot of ways, different ways to rig plastic worms for bass, and we're visiting Aztalan State Park near Lake Mills.
All right. Well, there's a lot of other stuff going on around the state.
That's right.
If you want to get a chance to get out and do something, coming up at the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse Saturday, August 2nd, and Sunday, August 3rd, there's a basic fishing seminar open to all ages. You know, how to tie a knot, how to fish with the lures and live baits and rig the plastics, lots more. There's a Saturday workshop, and that begins at 1 p.m. Sunday, the workshop begins at 9 a.m., and it's at Greenfield Park. You get a chance to actually put the lessons that you've learned into play. Lunch will be provided as well that day, so that should be a lot of fun.
That sounds like fun. Fun for the kids.
Yeah, exactly. Some bow tuning workshop as well on Monday, August 4th, 6 to 8. Get your bow all tuned for you and learn how to keep it that way. You know,
uh-huh.
A lot of guys kind of just throw them into the back of the pickup trucks.
Not exactly the best way to do it. Not
you know?
Good if you want to hit the same
That's right.
point every time, yeah.
Knife sharpening seminar also at the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse with Lansky Sharpening Systems taught by Pete Iverson Thursday, August 7th at 6:30. Learn how to sharpen knives and keep them sharp. That's a big thing. People just think they can buy the cheapest gimmick out there.
Right.
You learn how to sharpen a knife properly, and it'll save you a lot of time.
And this system works.
For any of the upcoming events, you can call your New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse at 262-641-2000 or visit www.sportsmanswarehouse.com.
And the 13th annual Thursday's Child Charity Bass Tournament at Beck's on the Water on Lake Wisconsin will take place next Saturday, August 2nd. My team is sponsored by Marshall Erdman and Associates, headquartered in Madison, and they were named the nation's top design-build healthcare company for 2008 by Modern Healthcare Magazine.
Very good.
So special sponsors, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be fishing with Ben Hobbins and of Ironclad Lures and Drew and Derek Fredrickson of the UW Fishing Team. All proceeds support Thursday's Child, and for registration information, there are still slots available. If you want to get in on that tournament, you can contact Jim Peterson at 608-846-3541.
And the Wisconsin Fishing Club will hold its August meeting with a raffle and speaker at 7 p.m. on August 11th at Calhoun Station in New Berlin. Bass Pro Pete Lemke will speak on summer techniques and locations for bass in southeast Wisconsin lakes. Non-members are welcome. Cost is $3. Pizza's available. If you want some more information, call Dan.
Fry her, I'm betting.
All right. 414 464-9316.
All right. Pete Lemke knows his bass. And the Wisconsin Sports Fest is coming up August 15th and 16th in Oshkosh. That is a huge outdoor expo and giveaway with many thousands of dollars worth of prizes. There's all kinds of exhibitors there, people in the sporting industry, fishing equipment, hunting equipment, ATVs, trucks, boats, and everything. The MC of this event is Nashville's Earlene Mandrell.
All right.
One of the Mandrell sisters. Sure. I think she's the blonde one. And some outdoor types are going to be there, too. Jim Zumbo will be there, and Bob Walker, who makes the Walker Game Ear. Jeff Frederick, the turkey calling champion from Wisconsin, and I'll be there too. Both
you
days,
will be. I've seen your face on the posters.
Be there, yeah. Mm-hmm. So stop by and say hello. For tickets, you can go to our sponsor, Midwestern Shooter Supply in Lomira, or for information and ticket ordering online, you can go to wisportsfest.com. And Milford Hills, of course, will be hosting the Outdoor Wisconsin Family Adventure Day on Sunday, August 17th. This is a fundraiser for Outdoor Wisconsin TV, and events include sporting clay shooting and instruction by Chris Cantrell, who's a regular on our show, 3D archery with Forge Bow, a DNR laser shooting gallery, fly fishing lessons with Trout Unlimited, and many, many more exciting activities and exhibitors, from dog training to Dutch oven cooking with Cindy Overton, and Jiffy Ice Drills, Sportsman's Warehouse, Heckles Marina, Tackle Boxes to Go. Everybody's going to be there. And, of course, Brad Karstad is going to bring a couple of his Wilderness Scout hydrojet-powered canoes and duck skiffs along. Yeah, it's going to be a great day. For more information, you can call Milford Hills Hunt Club at 920-699-2249 or go online at milfordhills.com.
And, Dan, don't forget the 40th anniversary of the Scandinavian Corn Roast Weekend.
Yes.
Is coming up. That's August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And did you know this? They don't even serve corn until Sunday.
Well, they get your appetite worked up for 2 days.
They get you all worked up. And Sunday, it's free corn, 11 a.m. till it's gone.
All day long.
It's
wow.
going to be a lot of fun. It's 40 years of corn roast memories. You can go and celebrate with them in Scandinavia, Wisconsin. If you want more information, it's www.scandinavianboosterclub.com.
All right. And the following weekend in Iola, not too far from Scandinavia, is the 17th annual Iola Vintage Military and Gun Show, with vintage tractors and equipment. There will be a Vietnam battle reenactment, a World War II reenactment, a large display of vintage tractors, the vintage military show, and both days a parade of both military vehicles and vintage tractors.
That's going to be neat.
Quite a show.
Yeah.
You'll hear more about it on next week's show, and for information, you can go to iolaoldcarshow.com.
We got one other thing, application deadlines.
Yes.
That'll be August 1st.
That's right, for fall turkey and sharp-tailed grouse.
Don't forget, you'll be out of luck.
I got to get mine in right away. We'll be back after this.
LakeLink, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out LakeLink's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
LakeLink has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of LakeLink, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. And LakeLink will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The LakeLink Advantage program offers discounts to LakeLink members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the LakeLink radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows. And send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways. All on lake-link.com, keyword radio.
Hey, Judy, want to pull into shore and get some lunch?
I don't know. I hate to leave the boat sitting here with all these expensive electronics on board.
Not a problem. Look, I've got a universal electronics lock from DuraSafe. It's a tough little inexpensive way to stop electronics thieves dead in the water.
That sounds cool. Hey, if you like that idea and want to know more, visit DuraSafeLocks.com today and check out the universal electronics lock.
That's DuraSafeLocks.com.
Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek features Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility and much more. Milford Hills is open to the public Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday for Sporting Clays shooting and fine dining in a first-class lodge restaurant. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. On the web at milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's 920-699-2249.
Jeff, have you ever fished the Mississippi River?
You know what? I did on a family vacation. Okay. I think I casted maybe 10 times or so, but that was 12 years ago, That was the last time, one and only.
Well, have you ever heard of the fishing floats on the Mississippi?
Fishing floats. I can't say that I have.
Well,
sounds interesting.
There are a number of them on the Mississippi. They're located below dams, and they offer people an opportunity to fish from a barge or a floating platform out in where all the fish are.
Oh, wow.
And we've got Jim Lodermeyer of the Great Elma Fishing Float on the line. Jim, how are you?
Hey, pretty good, pretty good. How was everybody there?
We're good.
Very good.
Now, did I describe that accurately?
You sure did, yeah.
Okay. Now, tell us where you're located.
We're located right below the Lock and Dam 4 at Elma, Wisconsin. We shuttle you across the river to the fishing float, and then you can get off, and you're kind of on your own. You can fish anywhere out on the deck you want.
And how big a float? How big an area do you have?
It's pretty good size. I mean, we could fit well over 100 people out there. Gets a little crowded then. Generally, there's 20 or 30 out there maybe on a decent summer weekday, and there's a little cafe out there and bait and tackle shop, so you can just pretty much bring your pole and tackle box, and away you go.
So this isn't a raft. This is like a small island.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty big. It stretches out a couple hundred feet out into the channel. It goes all the way from the Minnesota shore side of the river, and then it just stretches out to about 20 feet of water.
Wow.
Yeah, and the fishing is good there, I understand.
Yeah, it's been a phenomenal year. When the water came up a couple times and slowed it down one of those times, but boy, it's really been fun.
So what have you guys been catching?
Yeah, what do you look forward to?
Well, right now, midsummer, it's pretty typical to get panfish like bluegills, lots of white bass. They've been in as heavy as I've probably ever seen them.
Wow.
Northerns are pretty much every day a couple of them around, and catfish, and of course lots of sheephead, and it's really, really ideal for kids right now.
Sure.
Because of all the variety, they're small largemouth bass, and they're very easy to catch. So I mean, everybody, if you've never fished before, you know, they bring them out there and they'll usually almost get fish pretty steady.
Yeah, you're going to catch something.
Yeah, and it's not always like that, but midsummer is kind of like that.
Now, Jim, I understand you have a website so people can find out what's going on and how to find you.
Yep, it's elmafishingfloat.com, and it pretty much tells all the information you need to know about what we have out there.
And you've got a hotline fishing report phone number, too.
Yep, it's 685-FISH, 608-685-FISH.
All right.
This sounds like something I got to check out.
You do?
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you.
We'll check in with you maybe as fall approaches and see if those walleyes and saugers have started to move up again.
Okay, Dan and Jeff, you guys have a good day.
Thanks, you too. Well, Jeff, I think you ought to get out there and try that Elma fishing float.
I think so, too. That's something that's a nice vacation.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think we're running out of time. I hear old Anglin Wayne trolling up behind us here. You've been listening to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com. And by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. Join us again next week.
When the cool night swallows the moose's nose, and the heron is fishing on one cold leg, when the loon cries blubber in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure, the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey. I'll be